like to welcome everybody back to River Ridge. We're going to jump into our 4 p.m. worship here in just a couple of minutes. But as with before, I've got a couple of quick announcements to make, a few things to remind us of, a couple of new things to add to the list. We do want to run through the sick list again. We do want to remember Dottie receiving her pacemaker tomorrow. We want to pray for her. Tina, with the knee surgery that she just went through. Obviously, she was in pretty good spirits today, but she does have quite a bit of recovery to go through. Mark Nevins also mentioned to me that Lori is not feeling well this afternoon. We do have several people out of town. Andrew and Charlotte are not with us. I think they're heading back today. Courtney flew out for business this afternoon. She will be gone through Thursday. I don't see the Keaches here. I assume they are still coming back from Indianapolis. And, of course, Chuck and Debbie are out as well, conducting the meeting down in Kentucky. The working theory is that Andrew has the Wednesday invitation. We want to mention the Caneyville meeting going on. Starts today, runs through this week. If you have an opportunity, it would be good to check that out. As far as the order of worship today, got a lot of gaps from people who are and are not here. I'm going to ask Tony if you could word the opening prayer for us. Mark Nevins will handle the communion for anybody who needs it. I was told that Jesse would be leading songs this afternoon, so we're glad to have him contributing in that way. Tim, who is on the roster to be preaching tonight in Chuck's absence. We're looking forward to that. And then I think Mark Kaysen was on the list for the closing prayer this afternoon. As far as other notes go, Mark Nevins did want me to make mention. He did fill all of the slots for for those three new mailing addresses. We want to thank everybody for that. We've got that taken care of. And I did fail to mention this morning that the ladies' class will be held tomorrow. I should have known this because it's going to be happening 7 p.m. at my house, but I won't be there. So that's 7 o'clock at our home. If you need directions or the address, you can talk to Mallory or I. We will be sure to give that to you. If there's anything I have failed to bring up, we can make mention of it at the end of worship at the appropriate time today. Otherwise, I will turn things over for the song service.
First song will be number 22, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Hopefully, these are all songs that everyone here knows that come in danger with leading for the first time. So let's all sing out. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Any peace, divinest comfort, here my faith in Him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, flow a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, flow a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father.
song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Is my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way.
Next one before the prayer will be number 93. Number 93, Christ for the World We Sing.
Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal, the poor and him that mourn. The world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at Calvary's cross, from dark despair. Christ for the world to Christ we bring, with one accord, with us the word to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord. For the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with joyful song, the newborn souls whose days reclaim from error's ways, inspired with hope.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to come here this Lord's Day evening. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here with fellow Christians and study another portion of Thy Word. We're thankful for the work that is being done here at this place. We pray that we will continue to grow in faith, and that we will be a shining light in this community, and that we will always stand for the truth here at this place. Father, we pray for the work that is being done. Pray that you watch over the elders as they're overseeing our new building. And we pray that they will look to you in guidance and decisions they make. And pray that they will accept this challenge and understand the benefits of it for your work here in this area. Father, we pray for those of our number that are sick, especially Sister Tina. Pray that you'll continue to watch over her, that she'll be once again restored to her proper portion of health. Be with those in Northwest that have upcoming surgeries. Be with Sister Bays as she's struggling with cancer. And be thy will that you will watch over her, watch over her family. And be thy will that you will return her back to her proper portion of health. Father, we pray for the country we live in. We're thankful for the freedoms we have. We pray that we will always have these freedoms where we can come together and worship you without fear of outside interference. We pray that our leaders will look to you in the decisions they make. Pray, we know that all things are possible through you and all things are done through you. And we pray that you'll continue to watch over this country. Father, we ask that you be with Brother Tim this evening as he brings us a lesson tonight. We pray that he'll have a ready remembrance of what he has studied, and that he will present it in a way well pleasing to thee. Go with us now throughout this hour. Be our ever-abiding guest. We pray that we always look to you for signs of strength and in our everyday struggles. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Were there any that were unable to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning that would like to do so this evening? We'll go ahead and skip on down to number 19. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll sing this song before the sermon. If you would please stand for this song. Number 19.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Let me lower that. Sorry.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him will majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Please be seated.
Number 272 is the invitation song. 272. Is everyone here this afternoon? I'll be speaking on a topic I think that all of us can identify with once I get to the topic. I am thinking about some upcoming travel I have over in Germany, and thinking about the last time I went that direction. Traveling, I went to the UK, and when I was in some of the subways over there, I remember seeing a lot of signs that said "way out," and I thought seemed like those were the signs, you know, from the 60s maybe, from they were still around in the tunnels there, but it was actually a sign saying, you know, this is the way out. So when you're down in the subway, you need to get up to the street. Had to assign different places, you know, instead of exit, it was way out. And so I think I saw that maybe also in some places that, you know, they have a lot of traffic circles there. We have a few of them now, I think, by the airport. They're what they call roundabout. So you get in the roundabout and you go around instead of having a, you know, traffic light, you exit, you know, where you're supposed to, going around in a circle. And I think I saw some of the same kind of signs. Once you're in the traffic circle, you know, way out, so you know which way is to get out of the circle that you're in. And so what I thought about to me was just thinking about an escape. It, you know, an escape of getting out of, you know, the tunnel. You know, I'm in the subway. Here's your escape route. This is the way you get out of here. Thinking about maybe, I know with the kids in school, one of the big things is, you know, if there's a fire in your house, how are you supposed to get out of your house? What's the escape route? And so kids are taught to learn from their parents, well, how do I get out of my house? How do I get out of danger? And that's what I thought about today, talking about is, you know, what's our escape from sin? And those are the kind of things that we'll talk about tonight. And we all sin, even we want to talk about Jesus escaping sin in Matthew chapter 4. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 real quick. We're not going to read all of the temptation there. But in Matthew chapter 4, just for a couple of verses there, down through verse 3. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." When we talked about that, I think this morning in our Bible class, you know, Jesus said that every time when Satan tempted him, "For it is written," and he used God's word as his escape. He didn't have to, you know, like we might do sometimes. We might think of our human logic, "Well, how am I going to avoid this sin?" Jesus said, "For it is written," and he used that logic, and that's what we want to look at today. So because of the example that we have through Jesus, you know, he can identify with us and we can identify with him, the sin that he overcame. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, and we've talked about this recently in our Hebrews class and went through it. "For he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered. He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." So Jesus is able to come to our aid because Jesus was tempted, and yet Jesus didn't sin. And so when we sin, you know, Jesus is there for us, so we can go to him when we're tempted. And let's look at also chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, a few pages over. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus found that escape. So that's what we want to look at today. How can we escape that? So how do we deal with temptation? So one of the things that we should do, you know, in our prayer life, and we should be praying for, you know, when temptation appears to me in whatever form and differently between you and me. You know, how am I going to escape this? Please provide me, God, an escape when it, you know, when it does come. So we need to be recognizing how we might be able to avoid sin when it does present itself. So we want to look at some of those things today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And this is a common verse, and all of us remember this. "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." So none of us have a temptation that's so strong to us that we have to give in. I mean, I think we all know that. But we see here, God, there's always an escape that's been provided for us. Just, it's up to us to recognize what that escape is and how to avoid that sin. And then let's also look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2. in verse 9. For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Though he knows how to deliver us from sin. But the escape route, you know, for all of us, no matter what the sin is always there. Just knowing how to bear that temptation, knowing how to hold up to that temptation and to not let it overcome us. Because when we get into temptation, it's not God. You know, God doesn't tempt us. It's Satan tempting us. And then God provides the out there. It will never let us be so tempted that we have no out. So when we give in, it's always our fault. It's never God's fault. You know, a lot of people try to put that on God. And why did God tempt me like this? Why didn't I have a way to get out? So we want to look at now in James. We recently had a study in James. And it was James chapter 4. In verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, do we actually believe that the temptation will go away? If we resist the devil and resist, that eventually it'll go away. And that's what he says, resist it. And so resist it through prayer, through our, you know, through building up of our faith and being able to bear those things, that he'll flee from us. I mean, do we really believe that? I mean, that's what the scriptures tell us here. You stand up strong enough with God on your side, and then the temptation will eventually go away. It's not going to be there forever. You just have to endure it. I think it might have been, I'm thinking maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon. I'm not sure about those cartoons, but you remember those cartoons where you got the devil on one side and you got a little angel with a halo on the other side, and you know the characters always, you know, do it, don't do it, you know, going back and forth between trying to get the character to make a decision. You know, our choice is always to make the right choice, and so we've got that temptation on one side that's pulling on us. You know, God's always there for us, and we need to you know, not listen to that other voice, to listen to God, and to not give in to any temptation, because he's always there for us. But sometimes, you know, we're not leaning on the side towards God. Every time we sin, we're not looking to the escape that God provides us. Every time we sin, we give in to the temptation of the devil. So Jesus is our standard. So we know when Jesus was on this earth, he lived a life as a man just like we did, yet he didn't sin. So that should be our goal. We should want to be sinless, just like Jesus. And we know that we're going to falter. But you know, we don't wake up in the morning and say, you know, today I think I'm going to set a limit of 5 sins. And then at the end of the day, say, oh, I only sinned 4 times. Yeah, I was successful. No, we don't want to think of sin that way. We want to overcome all sin. So we wake up in the morning, we go to bed at night. You know, in the middle of the day, we should always be praying to be able to avoid sin. You know, whenever it rears its ugly head, provide us an opportunity to find that out for us, that escape, so that we don't have to give in to a sin, because we know we always want to make the right choice. So let's look at James chapter 1, just a few pages over. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So, you know, the sins that we commit, you know, they're sins that, you know, are coming from our own desires, whether it's, you know, something physical, whether it's something monetary, the things that we dwell on, think about long enough, and then we commit. Now, some things may be more spontaneous. You know, somebody knocks on your door. You know, is so-and-so home? No, they're not here, but they're really here. You know, you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies? No, I don't like Girl Scout cookies. Well, if you really do like Girl Scout cookies, that's a lie, you know. The things that are spontaneous, you don't really dwell on those things, where something else might be something that you more, you know, cultivate and build before it becomes a sin. So, you know, the temptation is trying to understand, you know, how we can get away from this sin by not thinking about committing the sin to begin with, if it's that kind of a sin. So James exhorts us here to not to err, not to fall into sin. So, you know, we talked about the lust of the flesh, the eyes, the pride of life. Those are the kind of things that cause us to sin. The things we, you know, from our flesh wants to do, are the things our eyes sees and we want. But you know, you see something somebody else has and you steal it. That's something that you saw and you desired it to the point where I'm going to figure out a way to steal that, and so you would steal something. You know, the pride of life, something that a power thing. You know, you're going to step on somebody at work and lie and do some bad things so that you can, you know, get ahead of them or put them down, you know, something like that. So the things that we do ourselves are the sinful actions that we have come from within, something that we have either cultivated or thought or practiced. And those are the kind of things we need to head off by trying to find out where the escape is. So let's look at Matthew 26 and verse 41. Matthew 26, verse 41, and Jesus here, talking to his disciples, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Talking about, you know, if they couldn't just stay awake, you know, while he went away to pray. "But keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation." I think, you know, TJ mentioned in an invitation not long ago about being really thankful and praying, you know, for things and being thankful about. And I think that's something we should think about also, is being thankful that there is an escape for us, that God provides that. There's an escape there that we can endure if we can find that. But in our prayer life, I mean, how many times do we pray for, "Help me, Father, to avoid temptation, to stand up to temptation"? You know, we're being thankful, and a lot of times we're praying for things that we've done in the past. You know, "Forgive me of my sin that I just did." But how much are we looking forward and asking for strength going forward to endure those kind of things as well? So being watchful and prayerful, I think, helps us to look at things that, you know, sin's visible. You know, we can see a lot of things that are sinful before we act on it. And, you know, sin is, it's pleasurable. I mean, you see something that somebody else has and you want it. I mean, that's a pleasurable thing to go, if you want to go steal that. I want to see that. I mean, you see something that, like, I don't like mincemeat pie. Well, I see a mincemeat pie, that's not something that looks, that's tempting to me. I'm not going to eat that. So the things that we all see that are around us, I mean, it's visible and it's going to consume us, sin will, if we let it take over us. And by ourselves, you know, we're defenseless against sin. I mean, we've got to have God. God's on our side. But if we, you know, step away from Him and we don't allow, you know, God to comfort us during that time, and we don't look for that escape through Him, we're just out there battling against Satan by ourselves, and we're going to lose every time. You know, we're not so prevalent anymore, but, you know, used to have the big L, you know, loser. I mean, that's us. When we battle against Satan ourselves, we're going to lose. There's no way we're going to win. So we always have to have God on our side and look to Him. So we want to look at just a few examples now of some biblical people who committed sin and what happened to them. So they lost in their temptation. and we want to see how we might benefit from their mistakes by seeing what they did and where was their escape. You know, what could they have done in their situation that we can see, you know, from third party and learn from their mistakes, and we could say, well, that happens to me, you know, I need to learn that as well. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we'll look at Eve. I mean, I think this is a pretty common one. A lot of us might have picked if I asked you to select something like, find an example like this. So let's read through verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. But God knows in that day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And in verse 7, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin covering. So they knew that they had sinned at this point, and Eve knew that she had sinned. So if when, you know, what was Eve's problem? Where was Eve's escape? You know, I think Chuck mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, if it wasn't last week. You know, this, what could her response have been? Well, let's see. You know, God told me not to eat of it, you know, on one side. The devil, you're telling me that I can eat of it, and you're telling me that these things that he didn't tell me. So you're saying if I eat of it, I'll be smart like him. Now, why didn't he tell me that? Well, you know, she's thinking, well, if he didn't tell me that, he must not want me to be smart like him, so he wants to be the only smart one. So it said that it looks good to her. Sin looks good. The tree looked desirable. The fruit looked desirable. So, I mean, it's just as the easy way to say that is, you know, her out was just say no. Satan said, do this. I mean, her, and she didn't have to give in. She could have just said, no, Satan, I'm going to listen to God. God said not to do this. I'm going to listen to him. I'm not going to listen to you. But instead, she gave in to her own desires. She did what she wanted to do. Same thing that we all do. I mean, none of us sin by saying, I don't want to do this thing, and then I do it, right? Every time we sin, we ourselves make this choice and say, I'm going to do X. And that's what we do. And then we violated God's word, and then we, you know, asked for repentance. So in her case, her escape was just say no to the devil. Say no. And that's what we should do when we're tempted. I think that's the example, you know, that we can think of when we look at Eve. You know, she gave into those things, and we would want to learn and say, no, I don't want to do that. And we also want to look at the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, both the priest and the Levite passed the man who had been beaten along the road, and then they could have helped, but they didn't. And this person from Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, the person that the Jew looked at as a dog, actually helped the person who was beaten. So, you know, both the priest and the Levite in the parable sinned by not stopping to help the man. So many times we look at the sinful things as the things that I do to commit sin versus the things that I didn't do that I should have done. We look at James chapter 4 and verse 17, which is a common scripture that most of us know. James chapter 4, 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So the priest and the Levite knew the right thing to do was to stop and help the beaten man. But they didn't do it. They didn't beat up the man. I mean, the person who beat up the man in the parable would have been somebody who sinned, right? He beat the guy up. These two guys walked by him and saw him laying there and said, you know, I didn't do that. You know, let somebody else stop by and help him. So instead of doing the right thing and stopping to help the man, they didn't. So their escape from the sin that they did by not helping the person was to go do the right thing. And to do the right thing was, in that case, to go help the man. So our escape from sometimes not doing what we're supposed to do is to do what we're supposed to do. I mean, it's not rocket science, right? It's Eve was just say no. And us, the right thing to do is just to do the right thing. Well, I think sometimes we look at sin as being like a, you know, Sin City, Las Vegas. You know, I've never been to Las Vegas. I've heard, you know, people who have. But, you know, all the neon signs, you know, pointing this way. I mean, we sometimes, I think, look at sin as being that blatant, you know, that, oh, I wouldn't walk into something like that. I wouldn't sin that way because it just, it's there shining in front of me and I'm not going to step into that trap. Whereas sin really is more subtle. You know, Satan traps most of us by the subtleties of the things that we fall into, not because there's a big, you know, a big sign pointing this way, hey, sin this way, down these stairs and to the left, right? So the things that we need to look at and not be overtaken by, I think, are, you know, look at the subtle things as well. Those are the things in our life as well that can trap us so easily. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So we're not ignorant, right? I mean, we're educated Christians. We read the Bible. We understand how Satan operates. Yet we're not immune to what he does. So we walk out of here knowing that God's on our side. Yet tomorrow, many of us will sin in some way, knowing that God's on our side, but yet we chose not to let God help us out of that situation. So I think we just need to be aware of that you know, he's smarter than we are, and we need not fall into his traps. We need God on our side. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, most of you probably thought maybe I would go here, is David. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I'll read just a little bit of this just to kind of set the background of David and Bathsheba and then the subsequent sins after that. Just read the first couple of verses here. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David rose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. We all know that David saw Bathsheba. David being a powerful man, David could call for Bathsheba, and basically he stole somebody else's wife, and which was a sin in and of itself. Together they had a child, but in the meantime, before the child was born, he stole somebody else's wife, and Uriah the Hittite, the husband of Bathsheba, he brought in from the battlefields and basically tried to get, you know, Bathsheba's husband to, you know, spend some time with Bathsheba so they could, it would appear that the child was his, Uriah's, instead of David's. But Uriah, being a man of honor, wouldn't do that because all the other men were out fighting. They weren't their wives, so why should I spend time with my wife? So he didn't do that, so basically David sent him back out to the battlefield and had all the troops withdraw from him, and he was killed in battle. So, you know, one sin the battle of the adultery and taking Bathsheba as wife and trying to cover it all up caused him to commit another sin, you know, murder, trying to cover that up. And so it's the consequences of sin. We know sometimes they're not just the initial thing. One thing leads to another, to another, to another, and they just compound on each other. And so I think, you know, looking at David, what was David's out? Well, just because you see something doesn't mean you have to have it, right? We all know that. So whether it's talking about somebody opposite our spouse, somebody of the opposite sex, we're not even talking about necessarily physical things. You see something, you know, that somebody else has, covetousness, you know, that somebody else has. That's why people steal. I want what they have. So just because David saw something that he could have doesn't mean just because he was the king that he had to have it. So he could have said no. He could have turned the other way and just walked away and not done anything. But yet he acted in that case. And then because he did that, he acted again on having Uriah the Hittite murdered. So his sins were, you know, compounded by his actions. Where sometimes the escape seems like it's just too hard for us. You know, I can see what needs to be done, but I don't want to really have to go through with that. And so we go off and do something that we shouldn't have. So I think we need to learn from David. Yet, you know, later on, David is called a man after God's own heart. So we know that just because we do something, we sin, doesn't mean we're marked for life and that we can't get out of that. And that's because Jesus paved the way for us through his death. You know, instead of doing what these people did, we should be more like Joseph. Remember when Joseph was in Egypt and Potiphar's wife, you know, tried to seduce him, and you know, she grabbed his cloak and he took off running. I mean, that's what we should do. You know, run from temptation, remove ourselves from the situation. So sometimes the situation we put ourselves in is a situation that we chose to put ourselves in. It's not something it just happened upon us. It's that sign that was flashing and we walked right into it and said, you know, I'm strong enough, I can withstand this. And in all actuality, we can't withstand it if we don't have God with us. We should do the right thing. I mean, it's just not doing the wrong thing. It's, you know, it seems overly simplistic to say that. I mean, I know it. You need some great words coming out, but it's just say no to drugs. I mean, that's been out for a long time. That kind of plan on, you know, getting kids to avoid drugs. It's not anything that's, you know, a great powerful message. It's just say no. And that's what we need to do. We talked about if there's a will, there's a way, you know, kind of a general terminology. If you want to do something bad enough, you're going to find a way to do it. You know, if you have something you love, you know, something, a place to go, you know, I want to go fishing here, I want to go on vacation here, you're going to save money, you want to buy this car. You know, if you want to do those kind of things, something that you really love, then you're going to find a way to accomplish that. I mean, all of us are like that. We have something that we love to do, and we save and push and, you know, save time and set aside time and do all those kind of things so that we can accomplish what it is that we want to do. But if we thought about the same thing with sin and kind of flipped the thought so that instead of if there's a will, there's a way to do something, if there's a will to not do something, I'm not going to do this sin, and I'll find a way because there's an escape there somewhere. And we just have to find it. You know, those mystery movie, that's what I'm trying to say, where there's a, you know, a secret bookcase or something there that, you know, you're trying to find a way out of where you're trapped, and you got to find that secret passageway, looking for that place. Where is that? How can I get out of here? Because we know it's there. We just have to look hard enough until we find it, and then we see it, and then that's my escape. So that's what we need to look for. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We don't want to still live in sin. You know, we were saved from sin. We became a Christian. We have the opportunity to never go back to that way we were. And that doesn't say we'll never sin again. But because we've become a Christian, we put away the old man, we put on the new man, and we now have that advocate through Jesus we talked about this morning in 1 John. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. For if, after having escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again tangled in them and are overcome, the last days has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns its wallowing into the mire. So, we don't want to be overcome by it. Not to say that we won't sin, but being entangled into it again, we go back into the way we were before we were Christians. We go back into just forgetting about God, and we go back into doing our own thing. So that's not the way we want to. We want to make sure that if we have the opportunity to get out of that sin, then we take that sin. Otherwise, if I sin and keep sinning and keep sinning, before long, it's like I've forgotten all about that God's even there. And I go back to the way I was before, where I don't even care about God. And that's not what we want to do. We need to escape sin. We want to find that out. But find the way out. All of us have that. Every time we have an opportunity, you know, to find that out, the escape, you know, we need to take it. And just think about it the next time when you're asking God for forgiveness of a sin you did, think about, what did I not do that I could have done? Where would my path to get out of that? And next time you might think about, you know, I might think about, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to learn from my mistake and try to avoid that again. So, have you escaped from sin? So if you haven't escaped from sin, you're still in your sin. If you haven't become a Christian, you're still wallowing in that sinful life that you had before Christ. And you know, you know what you should do. You know that if you were to die today, you don't have the hope of heaven. Jesus died for all of us, but it's not until we're buried in baptism, we are raised in newness of life, that we have that advocate. We talked about that in this morning. Jesus is always there, but until we can access his blood, we don't have that hope of heaven. And so we need to think about our lives today. If you haven't become a Christian, this is the time you need to do that. This is your escape today. So you need to think about that. If you're a Christian and you've fallen away, you've got some problem in your life that you want to have us pray for you, we can do that if you want to. You just come forward now and we sing the invitation song.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My
my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow him.
All been encouraged for everyone who's been here today. We want to think about each other as we go into the work week. We know, and just talk about that. We know what's waiting for us, and we know Satan's there, but we know we have God on our side, and we can defeat him if we always look to God first and then let him be our aid. So I want to think about those that were mentioned in our prayers. Let's pray for Chuck while he's holding the gospel meeting, and he'll have a safe trip back into the week. Just want to thank everyone for being here today and for having spiritual thoughts in their minds. Are there any other announcements you need to be made? TJ?
Kelsey is at home with a migraine.
Okay. Think about Kelsey as well. Those will be traveling this week. So now I'll be dismissed in a closing prayer.
Our merciful Father who art in heaven, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you again for this day of life you've given us, this opportunity we've had to come here and quiet this place and to lift up our voices in song and worship unto you. Hear your word proclaimed. Father, we are so humbled by the fact that you were willing to send Jesus to the cross to redeem mankind from the sins that had separated us from you. Father, it defies the ability to understand the depths of love that great. Yet we are so thankful that you were willing to do that, because we had been separated because of sin, and we had become your enemies. And now through that perfect sacrifice, that wonderful blood that was shed for us, we can have our sins taken away from us, that when we look down upon us, we see something that is acceptable and useful. We are so grateful. We always have the name of Jesus on the tips of our tongue. We want to always take every opportunity to speak that noble and wonderful name to the people around us. Help us, Father, in the lives that we live, the examples that we set. Help us be mindful that it's not always the things that we say, but it's the things that we do. The people are watching. Help us to be mindful of that when we're in places where we think we are secret and alone. Help us to realize that we are your children, and we have a standard that you give us to live by. Help us to live honorably before you. Father, we are mindful of those of our number who have been mentioned as being sick and traveling, those who are recovering from recent surgical events. We pray, Father, that you will look down upon each of them, and that you will bless their recoveries, that you will ease their suffering, that you will watch over them as they travel. Oh, Father, that nothing along those lines that is too big or too great for you, a mere thought is all. We're so grateful that you are so powerful, that you love us. Help us, Father, to remember these things as we go about our daily lives and whatever amount of time we have left in this life. We'll be ready and be prepared for that day when we must stand before Jesus and we must give an account of how we use the time that you gave us. Please have mercy upon our souls. We ask this in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.